Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention to primarily to sheep, but Ray Antonovich, owner of AZ Farm in Oregon, probably can talk with us a little about rabbits and maybe poultry as well, chickens as well, because he raises those too. And zero in, though, a little bit on sheep raising and sheep farming here in the state of Wisconsin, and about the tours that that he has and other people have around the state, and the open houses that they have. This is not about the perfect time of the year, because this is the birthing time of the year for lambs. And I know Ray at the farm there has some great sessions. We just finished one yesterday, open session at his place, and we'll tell you about what's coming up next weekend and the weekend following that as we visit with him. Questions about sheep, raising sheep, wool, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us. And the email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Ray, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Well, it's sure nice to be with you again.
Let's talk a little bit about tell people about your farm first. So people have an idea what you've got.
Well, what do we have? Well, it's a small farm. And since I retired, it's been really a major part of our lives. And we really raise sheep as far as other animals. This time of the year, spring is here on the calendar, and it may not be as warm at times, but spring is here as far as lambs. The lambs are coming, and they have kept busy with all of the birth of the newborn lambs.
Yeah.
But this is what our farm is. Some people may call it a hobby farm, but we operate as a business, and the rabbits and the chickens are a part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
The major part. The sheep project, if we want to call it that, is the major part of the operation. We raise a few rabbits, sell them commercially, chickens. We don't have a large laying flock, but we do sell eggs. I get very few eggs to eat at home because they're generally spoken for. And then we do sell some meat chickens also. In the spring, we'll start, or a little later in the spring, we'll start raising some chicks in the barn. They'll have a heat lamp over them. And then when they're large enough to go out and the temperature is so, they will go out on grass. And they will be confined a little bit because we just have too many hawks there to kind of let them go out on the range with no protection. And that is the basic thing. But with the sheep project, we've got other products that we produce in addition to the grass-fed lamb as locally produced.
Mm-hmm.
We sell that. That's the primary product that we produce. But then we also do sell wool. We have, did shear the sheep about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and so we have raw wool that we sell to the spinners. We call it raw wool because it's right from the sheep,
mm-hmm.
and that a lot of the spinners, we had spinners out yesterday that were demonstrating their skills, and they purchase a lot of our wool. And then with the wool also, we had some made into yarn, and that would be 100% wool yarn that we do direct market also.
Mm-hmm.
And also blankets, wool blankets. We hopefully pretty soon will be able to take the blankets and put them away for a while. But we're getting the raw material now to make the blankets, and so this is the time to start thinking about when the cold weather is going to be returning in mm-hmm. this part of the country. And so the wool blankets, we do merchandise those, and they're a great item, and not only in Wisconsin, but we do get calls because of our website. We do get mm-hmm. calls from different parts of the U.S. In fact, a party in the U.S., I don't recall exactly where she was from, but she bought a blanket and then sent it over to her folks in England.
Oh.
And so that
you
was
got some sheep over in England, too.
Oh, yes, they do. But it was a little different situation. And those are the main products that we do produce on our farm.
You know, the sort of as an aside, but not really in some ways, is a small business here, but the Internet has had to have helped you considerably, and
definitely,
having that website.
Definitely. The website is something that has really helped us out a lot. This time of the year, it is really used a lot. We do get a report on it, and the month of March is the highest as far as
I'm sure.
The use, and so that really helps out great as far as promoting our operation and everything in general.
How many ewes do you have now?
Well,
roughly?
We've kind of reduced it a little bit. We're down to about 65 ewes now. And, we reduced it a little bit because of the workload. And it's not that much work, but, some of us are getting older, too. And then the price of lamb and wool has gone up.
Yeah, it's
and
really
so,
high.
It really is. It's the highest now that it has ever been as far as the price of lamb. And wool is going up also. So
just when you're reducing, then the price goes up.
Right, right. But, looking at the newborn lambs, it's really enjoyable after they can get cleaned off and so forth. And they're around, moving around in the pens and so forth. They're out jumping around after they get a couple days old. Then you start looking at them, that's a nice-looking lamb, and that's really going to make some good wool there, and we can really get some more good quality yarn and the blankets out of those.
We've been coming, my family, Renee and I and Emily, have been coming for 6 years, I think it's 7 years at least. Emily's only seven, so with her, but we came before she was born, too.
Okay. All right. Well, we enjoy having you folks out to see the operation.
Well, it is always fun, and when people, maybe we can talk about that. By the way, if you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR with your questions here. I should give that number a little more often. What do people see when they come to the farm time of the year?
Okay, this time of the year, naturally they see lambs.
Yeah.
We have a lot of lambs. Some people are lucky enough to come there at the time. And don't ask me what is the right time, because we just never forecast. But they do see the birth of lambs. And so they see that. Then we do have other animals also. We mentioned the chickens. Well, mm-hmm. we do have the laying flock, and we have little chicks that are newly hatched chicks. Mm-hmm. We can see those. And just about all of these animals, they will have a chance to touch and pet.
Yeah.
And see, then we have the rabbits, and the rabbits are very popular, really, because they're a smaller animal.
Yeah.
They don't make a noise, and there's the ones that we have, the breed that we have, is really soft.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Gail, who was kind of overseeing that part of it, of the operation, she said, really, these rabbits are very popular. And something new this year, we added a pair of runner ducks. Now, they're a little different shape of duck than a lot of people are used to thinking about. But they're something just a little bit different, and I thought it would be nice to have something like that. And then also they share a big stall with the pigs. The little pigs. We got four little pigs in there. And the reports I've gotten from the person who was in there yesterday, kind of answering questions and so forth, said that those pigs are very friendly. So we don't handle them that much. The pig is just not an animal that is easy to handle.
Yeah. Well, we've got questions. Al in Oregon has a question for you. Let's go there. Al, hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I know Ray, and he's been around the community a long time and a stalwart supporter. But I have a question: if your flock is diminishing or you've culled it down some, where do you go to get used ewes?
To get used ewes? Well, you could come to us and possibly get something. We may have something that we want to sell. Well, maybe we ought to explain here. Used ewes. This would be old ewes, and the ewes are the mature females that we use for breeding, and so they're having lambs now. And a couple weeks ago, we did shear the ewes, and so that's primarily where our wool does come from. But we do sell some, and that would be as far as old, mature ewes. And we do sell some ewe lambs later on in the summer, and those are purchased for replacement ewes or people that are going to be starting a flock of their own. This is one way
to get started,
get into the sheep business.
Yeah. Thanks, Al, for calling. Appreciate your call. Roland, hold on there. We'll get back to you and Inacio in just a couple of minutes. Ray Antonovich of AZ Farm, our guest. We're talking with him about sheep and lambs here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having some fun today talking with Ray Antonovich, owner of AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin, where they raise sheep primarily, but also some chickens and rabbits and a few other things as well. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for listening in. AZ Farms has a couple more weekends, the weekend of the 20th coming up and the weekend of the 27th, where you'll be able to go and see some newborn lambs and maybe even see some lambs being born.
Sunday only.
Ray's whispering to me, hey, it's Sunday only. It's the 20th and the 27th, so those are both Sundays, obviously. So from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. And we'll give you some more information about that as we move along today. Certainly, if you have some questions about AZ Farms or about what's going on in the sheep industry, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. And Roland and Osseo has been waiting quite a while, so let's go to Roland. Thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
Well, having been in seven foreign countries and now retired, having fun with the grandkids here in Osseo, and an idea had been in my mind for a while to set up a little business for them where we would raise rabbits and earthworms in combination. I heard something about where rabbit droppings would go into the soil, and that would provide feeding for the earthworms, and you could actually wind up or you maybe have Angora rabbits and maybe even market that or some other kind of rabbits. I was just wondering if that is a viable combination. What would be the best way to do that if it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it'd be a good project. It's not something that I have really looked into, but the little I do know about that, it does work out using the manure from the rabbits. You have a wire bottom or floor in the cage, and so the droppings, which we've got the little round pellets, if we want to call it that, from the rabbit manure, and they fall through. And so it's something that is very clean.
You just fall into the dirt where
fall into the dirt or some of these older dairy barns, small mm-hmm. dairy barns and so forth, where there is a manure gutter in them. Mm-hmm. I think that would probably be something that might be explored as far as using that, mm-hmm. where you could kind of pile the manure up a little bit more and more or less seed the worms in there. It would be a good media, but it is a little bit different. May get a little messy as far as harvesting your worm population. Mm-hmm. And
what about Angora rabbits?
The Angora rabbits may be good. I mean, we don't raise anything Angora. It's just for a fiber, we stick to the wool. But that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. There are more and more people getting into using different fibers that are mm-hmm. available in this country for different products, in addition to clothing, the yarn, so forth and so on. So I think it is something that does have possibilities.
You know, and we've got coming up, and I don't even think we have it scheduled yet, but Roland, you ought to keep track of this, because we have a woman, a scientist from the Department of Natural Resources, who studies worms and looks at worms and knows a lot about worms. And we're trying to schedule, Judith's trying to set her up now, and we don't have her scheduled yet, but we will have her scheduled. So I hope you'll, you know, kind of pay attention and keep listening, and we'll get him in. We'll get her on. And thank you very much for calling. Cindy in Belleville, let's go to you next. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I'm calling today because I wanted to give my thanks to Ray for some of the extra work he does besides his farm. Ray's quite involved with the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Cooperative, and every year he is responsible for organizing a day-long session called Sheep 101, which is held at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival in Jefferson, usually in September. And my husband Mark and I have attended this class for the last few years, actually, and mm-hmm. now we have a flock of sheep of our own.
Oh, great.
And so I guess I would consider myself to be a graduate of Sheep 101. And Ray, I've been very delinquent in sending in my evaluation from last year, but I wanted to volunteer because I would like to help out, if I can, with organizing this year's class.
Okay, Sydney. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your comments on this. For the Sheep 101, that is part of the Sheep and Wool Festival at Jefferson, Wisconsin, the weekend after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. On Friday, we have the 101, and Cindy and Mark have been there. And we do change that every year. It's not
as it sounds,
a 101 yeah. type class here on campus. But we do switch off subjects and speakers, and we're trying to put that together now. So, Cindy, if you have some suggestions, please send those my way.
Yeah.
I will be in touch.
Okay.
All right.
We've got a couple new speakers, and we've got some interesting topics again.
Yeah.
And we've had a great turnout. The 101 at the Sheep and Wool Festival on the Friday is intended for people, well, okay, Cindy and Mark were interested in getting in sheep. And so this is the audience that we've been focusing on for mm-hmm. the last several years. And I'm glad
it's worked out. It worked out pretty well. Thanks,
okay.
Cindy. And, of course, you probably know how to get a hold of Ray, but you can go to the AZ Farm. It's www.a-zfarm. There's a hyphen in there. So
right.
It's www.a-zfarm.com.
Correct.
And go to the site.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
And let's go to Matt in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Matt.
Hello. Yeah, my question was, my father worked at a slaughterhouse, so I was pretty familiar with animals being processed and knew how it worked, but I've had trouble finding places to take my sons to show them how their meat is prepared. Is there a place I could take them so they could experience that?
I don't know of one that would be specific. Now, down in your area there, being southwestern part of Wisconsin, that's a livestock area. And I would...
There are some slaughterhouses there.
Yes, there are some. Just where they are at, I'm not
sure. I'm
going to
ponder that. There's an association. You could go online.
Yes.
And I'm blanking at it right for the moment, but it may come up. And so stay listening anyway, Matt. We'll try and come up with the name of the association, because there are little custom slaughtering. My dad worked in one. That's what he did after he quit farming. And he worked in a custom slaughtering place, and it was in a rural area, and the the stock came in, and it was slaughtered on site. And a lot of times people were in there, and a lot of kids actually had a chance to see some of that. So
yes, well, that's the way we process our lambs, is at a local processor at New Glarus, and does a great job, and... works out good for us.
Yeah, actually. So anyway, somebody may even be able to call in from the Dubuque area or from southwest Wisconsin there and have a name of a place that you could visit and actually see that. Yeah, why not? We have a question wondering, could you talk about what constitutes a hobby farm and why they are growing in popularity?
What constitutes a hobby farm would be, I don't think we have a real strict definition there, but it's something that people they enjoy working with livestock or working on a farm, owning a farm, involving some type of animal or livestock.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe animal. Some of the critters that people do raise, I don't know just if they would be considered livestock as such.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be something that to make a living, often this hobby farm would not be your main purpose.
Yeah.
And it would be something that you really enjoy, maybe something you've really wanted to do all your life and after you retire. There are a lot of people that do end up with a small farm, and we work with many of those people as far as lambs. And so that would be it, and it would be something you enjoy.
And you might have a little income. You will.
Right.
I mean, certainly you have income. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Would you consider your farm a hobby farm? I wouldn't.
No.
I think that's a working farm, really.
It's a working farm as far as we're concerned, yes.
Yeah. Well, most hobby farms wouldn't have 65, 70 ewes running
no,
around.
No, no. But you could and have something like that.
Yeah.
But there's... so many possibilities, so many things you can do that really, I think nowadays we have so many openings, so many things that we can do, we can get involved in that do have a useful purpose.
Well, in your case, I mean, you're providing some meat and some wool and so forth, but you're also providing, in your case... a lot of enjoyment, people, and some education, because people are coming out and the little kids are seeing the seeing the animals. Sometimes they get to see them being born, and you have spinners usually there at your place on a Sunday.
All of that and more. And really, what some of this of the programs and so forth that we are involved in would fall under the category of ag tourism. And that is a huge area again, and that could be many hours of a program there. But we do try and make the experience when people do come out, like yesterday and the new the two coming Sundays, make it educational for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I spent a lot of time yesterday on wool, just kind of explaining things, and also on lamb, preparing the lamb meat, and how do we...
And, you know, and lamb prices have just gone really high. They're higher than ever, I think, and demand is all seems to be increasing. Why is that?
Yeah, why is it? Oh, there are several reasons why the price of lamb is increasing. And, well, Australia and New Zealand have had some weather problems and some other changes. Some of New Zealand farmers are getting into dairy versus sheep industry. And so there's not as much lamb coming out of those two countries as there used to be. And we do not have enough lamb produced in this country to meet our needs. And then, there are a lot of other countries. China, as an example. They are a big consumer of lamb and wool. Now, the price of wool is going up, not quite as high as lamb, I mean, you know, percentage-wise, but it's still going up. And then something else we're seeing is a big change in the population here in our country, and particularly here in the Madison area with the ethnic groups. Many of these people are used to eating lamb back
in their former countries.
Right. Yeah. And so they come over here and they want lamb. And once in a while we have to educate them that we can't quite do some of the things that they did back home. But that's fine. We enjoy doing it.
My Tom emailed and said, my wife has traveled extensively in Iceland and fell in love with Icelandic sheep. And wondering, does anyone in Wisconsin that you know of raise and sell Icelandic sheep?
Yes, they do. We were over in Iceland one time, too, and we enjoyed the sheep and the lamb as a result, and the country, too, was fabulous. We're ready to go back anytime. But there are Icelandic sheep breeders in this country. If you... get the website for the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders. They have a directory listing the breed or type of sheep that different people are raising.
The Wisconsin Sheep Breeders, probably Association. Judith will find that. We'll put that up on the Larry Mueller Facebook page.
Okay, good.
And we'll get that up there. We also have, I think we've got a tie to, I'm pretty sure we have a tie to your farm as well. Yes, on the Facebook page, too. So if they forgot the A hyphen Z, they can always go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and it'll be right there for them. So Icelandic, are they a different kind of sheep? What are they?
They are a little bit different. They have a little different type of wool also.
Oh, they do?
And, with us, we primarily stick with the natural colored wool. And there are many different shades of gray and black and white and so forth with the Icelandic.
Oh, okay.
And it's a different fiber. All sheep do not have the same fiber. We have a display that we borrowed from Mary Wallace, and she has many samples of different breeds as to the type of wool that they produce. This is really informative.
Jim and Bloomer, on to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. What can we do?
I'm calling about before somebody called in and asked about where they could take their kids to see beef processed or animals processed.
Yes.
And you were mentioning this association. You couldn't think of it. The association is WAMP. WAMP, Wisconsin Association of Meat Processors.
That's right.
And I'm not sure what part of the state he was. It sounded like the South.
He was in from Dubuque, Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dubuque has got the federal plant there. But, yeah, above that is Cuba City, Weber's, and there's Knables and Belmont. And there's a lot of them down in that area, smaller ones.
Yes.
The best place you can go through is the Dubuque Packing.
Yeah, he might even be able to get them in. Yeah, they might have tours there.
They have tours. I've been through them years ago.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. Somebody else mentioned the caller might contact the Practical Farmers of Iowa for information. There's some. It's called www.practicalfarmers.org, and they might have something as well. So there you go. And Mindy in Fall Creek, we turn to you next. Hi, Mindy.
Hi. I have a question. I've gone from hobby, what I call hobby status, to being on the verge of having to make it a business because my flock has grown so much. They just grow exponentially. They're such hardy little creatures. So my question is, how do I best market my sheep?
Oh, there's a lot of different avenues here. Are you interested in marketing the wool, wool and lamb, or just what?
Yeah, what would you like?
We really need to get more specific on that.
Right. Right now I'm raising mainly Icelandic, and they're kind of an all-purpose breed.
Yes.
Just butchering them for myself, I found them to be a very expensive breed to butcher because they're smaller sheep.
Yeah.
And the cost of butchering a sheep is it doesn't matter what size
right.
you're sending,
right.
you're only getting so much back. So I guess for that particular breed, what do you suggest?
Well, I think you mentioned that the Icelandic is a smaller breed, and that is true. And so when we take lambs in to be processed at our... We mentioned the small independence processors, mm-hmm. which is great. They will be charging you basically the same thing as for a larger animal. And so when it comes to selecting a breed, as was mentioned before when Cindy called as far as getting into the sheep in this business, we need to
you might want to change your,
right.
change your breed is what
but,
you're saying.
But with the Icelandic, I think the wool is a big market. Now, we will have a speaker at the festival that I think would
this,
be great.
This coming fall.
Yes, the weekend after Labor Day would be great as far as, I think, marketing your wool and how to prepare it for the market.
Okay.
So check the website as far as Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Co-op. And we don't have the program all together yet, but we're getting there. And I think this would be a great place to start and go from there then.
Well,
Thank you.
Well, Tom, who called earlier, unfortunately, was looking for somebody who raises Icelandic sheep here in Wisconsin. You got a website yet, Mindy?
No, I don't. No. I guess I better get on that.
you need to get out there and make yourself known.
Mm-hmm. It helps.
Yeah, I'm sure it well, Ray is living proof that it does help. And his website it's www.a-zfarm.com. You can take a look at his website. And find, you also have directions on the website as to how to find your place.
Right, we do. And we're easy to find.
Yeah,
and,
it's easy, very easy to find once you kind of know. Once you
yes.
got that little diagram map there, it's very easy. So we've still got this coming Sunday and then the Sunday after. Those are the two more chances
yes,
that
the
people...
20th and 27th, we'll have farm tours for our lamb birthing barn, we call it. And we'd sure like to have you out there, and we'll try and make it educational for you and really enjoyable.
And it's a fairly... It's a small... forget what it... What's your... I've forgotten what you charge. It's small.
It's $350 per person. Two
yeah.
and under are free.
Yeah, so you're... Talk about a family event where you're not going to be spending a whole lot of money.
Right.
That is definitely $3.50. Boy. Ray, it's always a pleasure. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you, I don't know if it'll be this Sunday or next Sunday, but one of the two Sundays, Renee and I and Emily will be out there and we'll get our picture taken.
That's something else I didn't mention.
We have our pictures taken every year, so... There's a few years I had the same coat on, I think 3 years in a row. So I now, my wife says, Watch what you're wearing when we go over there.
Oh, man.
Ray Antonovich, owner with his wife of AZ Farm. Always great to talk with him about sheep and about farming. And he'll be back and we'll do this again. Just to let you know, tomorrow after 11, we'll be talking with Joe Notini, who's a CPA, and talking about your taxes. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.